In effect, you know how we do, talking hoops, talking scoring, talking defense, talking everything that involves the game of hoops that we do. That's what I mean. It's basketball for the people, by the people, baby. We 94 feet of light. Another one.
First of all, this is Big Shot Ron. Happy holidays to you. Shout out to the Anchor Gang. If you're not on the Anchor Gang and you're listening to this from your desktop, shout out to you, but what are you doing? Get Anchor. On demand, at your fingertips, easy, convenient. That's how we like it. Now, what MJ is saying is very true. Guys are feeling a little tight in this holiday season about their roles and etc. First example we had was Brad Beal and John Wall. Now, John Wall, apparently somebody put the battery in his back the last 10 days or 2 weeks. He's been better. But there's always been this ongoing thing about them not inability to get along. My issue with Ball and Wheel, and I'm going to pass this back to MJ, is that of all the backcourts in the NBA, they have the games individually that should fit the best. But for some reason, cats, they always have this thing between each other. And what we hear is like, why is this? Why can't these two dudes, complementary pieces, can't seem to why they not firing the way they should? MJ, what do you think?
Let me also let y'all know that I am the designated psychologist for all basketball things related, considering the fact that I've been in the locker room, maybe not on the highest level, but on a level high enough to know what's going on into a cat's head. And let's just break it down real simple. The objective of this game has always been and always will be to score more points than the other team. Unfortunately, there are some individual perks that comes along with being the man or doing it a certain way. So, with point guards, it's always been revered for point guards to have the ball in their hands, to sauce their player up, to find the pass and create the shot for their team. That's what everybody thinks the point guard should do, which is great. The problem is when you have other people on the floor that is really skilled with the ball as well, they're not going to want to just wait for their point guard to just set them up all the time, at least. You know, we actually, you know, you look at Bradley Beal. When John Wall was out, Bradley Beal ran a little bit of the point guard, and they won some games. He's able to handle the ball. He's able to create off the dribble. He's able to sometimes just get the ball in the wing and be like, all right, y'all could just chill for a second. I got y'all. He can do the same thing. So it's like, what do you do when you have a lot of players who are really good with the ball, but it's only one ball and five people? And that's where culture comes into play. So I've actually found out the common denominator to Washington, and that is Scott Brooks. Because if you remember, once upon a time, he also had a team that boasts three MVPs. Three MVPs, count them. That is not that is not an embellishment. KD won MVP, Harden won MVP, Westbrook won MVP. Yet for whatever reason, he could not get that team. Now, granted, the James Harden thing wasn't his fault. James Harden actually left before there could be any type of issue there. But he could not find a balance between having Russell Westbrook and KD work together, which is looking very eerily similar to Beal and Wall. And on paper, Westbrook and Durant should have worked out perfect, because as soon as Durant went to Golden State, look what happened. So at some point, where do we start looking at Scott Brooks as the common denominator? I'm going to pass it over on that, let y'all ponder on that.
Now, let's go to our other situation of some people who are not exactly pleased with each other, or at least one guy who's not thrilled with what's going on, and that's process. Joel Embiid. Philadelphia picked up Jimmy Butler. They were fourth in the East. As the day that we're recording this, they are fourth in the East. And Joel says he's a little frustrated. To be fair to Joel, he did not say, I'm frustrated with Jimmy Butler. However, when you add in Jimmy Butler, it does change things. And having watched Philly a couple times, I'm noticing a couple things. Joel is not getting the catches and the touches in areas of the floor that he should get them. End of the game, Jimmy Butler has hit a couple game-winning shots. So down the stretch of a couple games, they've gone away from Joel. And the ball has now come out of the hands of not only Joel, but Ben Simmons, who is their most creative player, their best playmaker. And not that Ben looks lost or he's playing bad, but Ben off the ball is just not going to be effective until that jumper, not even the three, that mid-range becomes a thing and or his foul shooting gets better. So here again, psychology and the chemistry of the game comes into play. MJ, basketball psychologist, Joel, Jimmy, Ben. To me, this might be a case where this might just be too much. And I think all that talent is limited because of those three guys and how they interact and where they need to be on the floor to be effective. I'm going to swing this back to you. Talk about the psychology of these three.
Sure thing. And let's just put this out here as well. As we are taping right now, guess who is number one in the West? Oklahoma City. Why are they number one in the West? They're number one in the West because they have solidified two guys who are allowed to create their own shot. They have shared the ball with those two guys enough to where they're able to get the looks that they want, whether they go in or not. They are happy, they are eating, and everybody else has kind of fell in line with being able to not just get them the ball, but get everybody the ball so that everyone is able to touch it. Now, bringing that back to Philly, what we saw in Philly is very simple. Joel didn't never mind Ben Simmons. You want to know why? Because when Ben Simmons started to cook, when he went in his bag, he knew he was going in his bag to create for him. You have a guy now that's going in his bag to create for himself. So, just like we talked about with Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler is very, very guilty of this. I mean, y'all got to understand, who's the probably the most productive shooting guard in the NBA right now? What's his name? James Harden? What office is he running? He is the ball dominant player in which everything runs through him. He waits for the screen. He either gets to shoot it whenever he feels like it. He gets to dribble whenever he feels like it. He gets to make the pass whenever he feels like it. And a lot of these shooting guards are looking at James and like, wait a minute, I can do that. Why can't I do that? So now that lane has been created to open up for shooting guards to really give a side out of like, why I'm not running the offense, or why can't I create? And then you still got, you know, the point guards, the traditional point guards who want to get you in your place, want to set up everything, set the table. You know, Ben Simmons, he's really simple to please. Let him dribble the ball until he either dunk on you or he passes it. He's pretty simple. Right. It's pretty simple. And Joel, I mean, he's probably the most dominant big man we have, him and Jokic. Those two are the most dominant big man we have right now. And the common denominator of them being the most dominant big man is what? They get the ball a lot. They have the ball in their hands a lot. I've seen Jokic bring the ball up the court off a rebound. Right. I see him just straight run point. And with Embiid, even though he don't necessarily bring the ball off the rebound, they don't do anything until he touches the ball every possession. As many horses as they have, as much as they run, they don't do squat until he touches it. And rightfully so. He's your best player. But what happens when your best player get pieces that also requires to touch the ball every possession?
This is where roster construction is key. MJ just hit you with the Jokic example. Look at the way Denver's roster is constructed. Jokic is our de facto point guard. He's the best playmaker. He's the best passer. So do we really need to have ball dominant point guard X? Nope, we don't. Do we need ball dominant wing? Nope. Give us a Gary Harris. Jamal Murray is a scorer, but he's not necessarily 15 dribble combo guy. We have a bunch of shooters. We have stretch fours and wings. And we will revolve the offense around the sun. That is Jokic. Jokic is the sun. The rest of y'all are the planets around the sun that rotate and revolve. And it works. Jokic is like Meadowlark Lemon. Our old heads who watch Harlem Globetrotters know about Meadowlark Lemon. We just throw it to Jokic at the high post, and we just run around him and just do stuff. And eventually, he finds us with the pass. Same thing in Toronto. We find the dominant wing scorer in Kawhi. So what do we do now? Kyle Lowry gets to play actual point guard. Like real point guard that our man Worldwide Les, who loves true point guards, he's playing more point guard now. Kyle Lowry points is down to like 13 and a half or 14 a game, but he averaging like 10 assists. Again, we get the dominant score on the wing and Kawhi, so everyone else now adjusts their game. What's not happening in Philly right now, there's no adjustment. Ben Simmons hasn't adjusted. Joel hasn't adjusted to having this new toy in Jimmy Butler. So what happens to Philly? Stagnant offense. A lot of the ball getting pounded into the floor. And then you have two guys who will always be standing and watching. If we throw it to Joel in the post, Ben's standing and watching. Jimmy's standing and watching. If we throw it to Jimmy on the wing, Joel standing and watching. Ben standing and watching. And those three guys are not stand and watch, catch and shoot, move without the ball guys. All three of those guys are, I need the ball a lot. In ISO, in the post, whatever. Which is why Philly has a problem, because the rest of that roster is constructed of guys who are okay at what they do. Like, whatever you want to say about Covington and Sarge, they fit Joel and Ben perfectly because they were understanding of, I am catch and shoot guy, I am cut off the ball guy.
Yep.
Now, with three guys who need the ball a whole bunch of times.
And Wilson Chandler. Not running.
You don't have anybody else who can sort of coordinate this. Which is why TJ McConnell, as much as people laugh about TJ McConnell versus Markelle Fultz, the reason TJ McConnell plays, and not just because Fultz shoulder and whatever else is going on, see, TJ McConnell is the one guy on that team who can coordinate all of this. And this is why he plays 20, 25 minutes a night when he probably should not be playing it, because somebody got to organize this.
Mm-hmm. He's doing everything that Ben Simmons is supposed to do. TJ McConnell is doing everything that we want Ben Simmons to do. But Ben Simmons is young. He will get there. I mean, so it's not a hurry. But right now, you have an offense and a personnel that can't get easy baskets because nobody is running the floor. JJ is not running the floor and getting you layups. He might run to the three-point line and get you a quick three if you allow it. Wilson Chandler is not beating nobody down the floor. That's just starting small for it, which we've seen a few games in which he's played 30-plus minutes and scored nothing, like actual nothing, which is not even a shot at Wilson Chandler. It's more of a shot at the offense in entirety, because how could you not get this man involved? Why wouldn't you get this man involved? If he's on your team and he's playing hard for you, he has to have some opportunity or some type of incentive to want to stay on the floor. Ain't too many Rodmans out here anymore, especially in this league in which you don't even make it to the league unless you show you can score. So I'm pretty sure that's not his idea to just want to run up down the court for 30 minutes and score nothing. So that has to be fixed. But you have a lot of pieces in which it's not fitting today's NBA, because while y'all trying to set up half court, while y'all trying to keep Joel happy, while y'all try to keep Jimmy happy by catching on the wing so he can do his triple threat thing, which I might add, he has gotten more efficient on offense. I will give him credit for that. But while y'all doing all this and taking 14, 16 seconds off the shot clock, these other teams, it's not even a playoff contention, is shooting that ball within 3 to 5 seconds. You do the math. who's going to end up with more points? Just off of that logic alone. So, yeah, you go see Brooklyn running them out the gym. Even though we know damn well Brooklyn has no business not just beating them, but blowing them out.
They played Indiana recently and got taken apart off what MJ just talked about, what we've been talking about. It's not organized. And guys who should be initiating offense, like Ben Simmons, are getting moved off the ball to accommodate Jimmy Butler when it doesn't fit. So Philly's success postseason, I think, is going to be limited. And if they get the wrong matchup in round one, if they end up with Indiana, if they end up with, I haven't looked at the standing lane, but Milwaukee, if Milwaukee falls back to them, that's going to be hard. Just because of the way they organize. And as far as Beal and Wall go, that's a simple fix. There's two fixes that need to happen with that. Number one, Scott Brooks needs to go. Because a different personality at that coaching would sit both of them down and say, look, y'all should be, at worst, the second best backcourt in this league. At worst.
I'll give them third just to give props to what Portland's doing over there.
We'll give
the bizarro Portland.
Yeah. So, scratch that. Here's what I would say. I would say I look at Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and there is no way y'all two can't be as productive as they are.
Exactly.
That's what I would say to them. And a stronger personality. And I'm just gonna throw it. I'm not saying he's going to the Wizards, but someone like a Doc Rivers would say to them, listen, should be so much better than that. Somebody whose voice commands respect would get a bit more out of them. And to me, that's the biggest change. A different voice. Somebody who like, yo, this unacceptable most nights and we can't have it. Bottom line. And also, they need to go to the local, you know, D.C. I asked my man Joe Mavor. They need to go to the local go-go spot, go have a bite to eat together, and just say, listen, bro, what the problem is, man? Because they're too talented, they're too good to be this way. And again, the last 2 weeks have been better. But I should not see Washington. I shouldn't, in this East, as improved as this East is, they shouldn't be struggling to make the playoffs. That is unacceptable right now that I'm looking at Orlando's of the world, Detroit's of the world are somehow better than you two. So my simple fit for Washington is give me a coach with a personality. Give me a coach who's just going to demand that his two best players act right. So before we close this out, water cooler style, remember 94feetoflife.com. This episode, and you should be on the Anchor app following us at 94 Feet of Life as we close the business. I'm going to let my man MJ close the show. MJ, the basketball psychologist, a few parting thoughts.
Parting thoughts is really simple. Look at pre-Wall before Scott Brooks got to him versus the Wall we have now. That Wall back then was ran by Randy Whitman and also helped out by assistant coach Sam Cassell. Wall was not just picking you apart in the pick and roll when you saw that Wall. You saw Wall picking you apart in motion offense, which was something beautiful to watch. And which, in my head, that same motion offense, putting him with Beal together, you have a lot of problems on your hands. But because the offense has been simplified, he has gotten more autonomy, and now the offense is just really based on screen and roll action. Now you have turned Bradley Beal, who once was coming off that curl, and being a beautiful catch and shoot, catch and drive, catch and counter, then kick. Now you have just said, okay, we just want you to shoot. And as good of a shooter he is, he's more than that. And when you take a person that is special and only put them into a typecast, you are not going to get the best side of them. Because they putting all of this work in the offseason just to fulfill a role. Now it feels like a job. So, addition by subtraction. That's what you want to avoid, Some cases is unavoidable, which is the reason why I think Washington is winning now, because they got rid of Austin Rivers, which is another guard who needed the ball, in addition to getting rid of Oubre, who didn't necessarily need the ball, but he is one of those guys who wants to be a star, and he wants to develop into a star. And you could just tell by his style of play that he's trying to go for his money as well. So I think that frees up and puts both autonomy on those guards. Now you have to score this. Now you have to be aggressive. And it helps. But all in all, if you need to take away talent to be better, you definitely have to look more deeper into your system. Because I have never heard of a team that says, yeah, let me get rid of this future budding all-star because I want my other all-star to be able to, you know, average 30 and we'll win more games that way. No, that's something you have to figure out. So with that being said, man, 94 Feet of Life Basketball, for the people, by the people, we out.